With what has happened so far, Dmitry, what's your take on the situation between Iran and Israel? Donald Trump is talking about ceasefire. It's some, we can call it some sort of cessation, what's going on. But what's your take on what has happened?
Well, it was, it started out with the Ukrainian defeat. Everybody in Washington now realizes that the Ukraine is lost. They want to extricate themselves out of the Ukrainian mess. They don't want to give any more money to the Kiev regime, knowing that at least half of it gets stolen. They don't have any more weapons to give to the Ukrainians, and really neither do the Europeans. So the Ukraine becomes Russia's problem. And everybody now realizes, even though they can't politically say it, that they need good relations with Russia. They don't need good relations with the Ukraine because the Ukraine doesn't produce anything of value except maybe refugees. So realizing that there's this gigantic defeat and that saying that it's Biden's war, that Trump had nothing to do with it, etc., that ruse is wearing a bit thin. What Trump really needs is a victory, a military victory. So Bibi Netanyahu stepped in and said, we have this regime change operation running in Tehran. Why don't I take care of it for you? And then we can claim victory together over Iran. And there'd be accolades for us, and you'd get the Nobel Peace Prize, and I would eliminate this Zionist-hating entity, which is really embarrassing for Israel because Iran is pro-Jewish but anti-Israeli. Very, very awkward situation to be in. Lots of Jews in Iran who live there comfortably and even are represented in the Iranian parliament and have been for thousands of years living on that land and are part of the landscape. So so Trump went for it, said, Bibi, go ahead and attack and stop, launch your operation. We'll have regime change. We'll line up this new Shah of Iran, who is the son of the old clan. Everything will be wonderful. And of course, none of it worked. It just plain didn't work. So then Trump thought about it a little bit more and thought, well, how can I at least claim credit for something? How about destroying the non-existent Iranian nuclear weapon program? Because if Iran had nuclear weapons, that would be just a gigantic threat, you know, just like Israel having nuclear weapons is a gigantic threat, not really. Just like the United States having nuclear weapons is a gigantic threat to someone, not sure who. So they launched this attack and they bombed the entrances to the tunnels leading to an underground cavern, the depth of which is unknown. It's under layers and layers of basalt. And they dropped some bombs that are designed to penetrate maybe 60 meters into loam or sand or something like that, but not through basalt. They can go through concrete, reinforced concrete, a few layers of it. But what they did was they bombed into rubble the entrances to the to these tunnels. And the funny thing is that the enriched uranium that the Iranians had, maybe 500, 600 kilos of it, had been evacuated from the facility beforehand. So it was all just shadow boxing. But it gave Trump a chance to declare victory, notwithstanding the fact that Iran had bombed the largest army base, military base that the United States has in the region. And it did it very delicately, you know. It told people to evacuate, then it sent it in just a few missiles, and just one or two or three of those missiles got through, just to sort of put a fine point on it that, you know, if we want to kill Americans, we can, but we don't really want to. And that was the end of the whole thing. So big pieces of Haifa and Tel Aviv have been reduced to rubble. The estimates for the damage, you know, the low estimate from the Israelis is maybe $12 billion. The high estimate from some guest on some talk show, don't remember who it was, but he said it's $500 billion. In that tone of voice, I recall. So the truth is somewhere in between, but Israel has been pretty heavily damaged. And what's more, their whole plan just completely collapsed. No more regime change in Iran. Forget about it.
Dmitry, do you feel that the ceasefire, what Donald Trump is calling ceasefire, we didn't have any sort of paper to be signed, any sort of robust articles to be agreed on, but Donald Trump calls it ceasefire. How is that? Is that fragile in your opinion?
Well, what good are robust articles signed by people who habitually lie? Constantly lie. I mean, Trump lied about the Iranian nuclear program. You know, his own 18 intelligence agencies told him that there is no weapons program in Iran. His IAEA, which is pretty much a Western organization run by an Italian, said that there is no nuclear weapons program in Iran. But he doesn't believe them because he wanted to have this Top Gun campaign flying in B-2s and dropping bunker busters. And of course, once everyone realized that it was all a lie, it won't matter anymore because the news cycle will go around one more time and there'll be some new stupid thing for people to pay attention to.
Do you know why there is some sort of huge disagreement within the United States? Because Donald Trump says that we have totally obliterated the Iranian nuclear program. And on the other hand, the mainstream media tries to go against him. What is going on internally in the United States in terms of what has happened between Iran and the United States?
Well, if you have an argument about something that doesn't exist, then you can pretty much say anything and be right. So Trump did destroy a non-existent Iranian weapons program, and he didn't destroy it because it doesn't exist. So both sides are right, and they can just tear each other's hair out for all I care. You know, they can gouge each other's eyeballs out. I'd love that. And it's still about nothing.
You've mentioned that the situation in the Middle East, what has happened between Iran and Israel and the United States being involved as well, was somehow a strategic defeat. Was that a strategic defeat for the United States and Israel, or the United States under the Trump administration managed to gain something, to put pressure somehow? We know that the Zionist lobby in the United States is so powerful, is so strong. And when it comes to the way that Donald Trump wants to deal with the situation in the Middle East, do you think that the war between Iran and Israel put Israel in a weaker position, the way that Donald Trump would be more capable of dealing with Netanyahu and his administration?
Well, look, the power of the Israeli lobby in the United States is at the same time difficult to overstate and easy to overstate. It's very powerful, right? Some people say they own, or they bribed basically half of US Congress. There's this AI pack that gets together once a year or so, and it's just kind of a celebration of that whole scheme, corruption scheme. But on the other hand, which lobby is more powerful, the Israeli lobby or the Arab lobby, the Middle Eastern Gulf Arab lobby? I mean, Trump was just over there begging for money, and he did get some money. So how much money can Israel offer? A negative sum? Israel is a public money sponge. It cannot exist without constant infusions of capital and weapons from the United States. Now, what good is it? It promised regime change in Iran. Did it deliver? No, it did not. Instead, what happened is it created a whole wall of new martyrs, and Iranians are all about martyrs. You know, it's the more martyrs, the more powerful it becomes. There was an urban population in Iran that was pro rapprochement with the West. They really wanted to merge with the West and you know, hand out liquor licenses to their friends instead of just smuggling stuff from Armenia. They wanted all of that. They didn't want to cover their heads, the women, that is. And they really didn't like this radical, quote unquote, radical sort of Shia Islam. But now these people have been silenced. What's more, Israel has been cultivating, because there are so many Jews living in Iran, cultivating connections and sleeper agents. And all of these sleeper agents have been outed. There was also a lot of Afghani refugees living in Iran who were bought for very little money to form some kind of like a bunch of terrorist cells to attack the government. All of those have been outed. This gave the Iranians a really good chance to clean house. The pro-Western Iranians have two choices now. One is to flee to the West, where they will be completely disregarded because they're now useless within Iran itself, or they switch sides, which is what a lot of them are doing. A lot of Pezeshkian people who were all about appeasing the West and making peace are pretty much, you know, abandoning that cause because it's an unreasonable cause at this point. And the other thing is that the Israelis turned to political assassination and assassinated a bunch of senior Israelis. And the fact that they're senior is pretty important because these people were involved with the war against the U.S.-sponsored war against Iraq. Iraq at the time was basically a U.S. proxy in the region attacking Iran won.
You meant senior Iranian commanders.
Senior Iranian, yes. These senior Iranians that have been killed were people who were interested in avoiding war because a lot of lives were lost in that conflict. So they've been killed, they've been replaced by younger people who are much more radical and much more willing to sustain the idea of supreme sacrifice. And they will be in charge of Iran for the next generation. So Israel basically did itself and did the United States in terms of limiting Iran's power, an extreme disservice. The people who basically abandoned Hezbollah and abandoned Hamas and abandoned Syria because they wanted to be nice to the Europeans and the Americans and make peace with them and have sanctions lifted, please lift the sanctions, etc. They now realize that you know, these are not their friends and will never be their friends. And of course, immediately the foreign minister of Iran flew to Moscow because that's where their real friends are. And now their discussions with an SCO, lessons learned from this Israeli attack on Iran, and they'll draw conclusions from it and will rearm Iran so that it is no longer possible to attack it in this manner.
What's your understanding on what has happened between Iran and Israel and the way that the United States interfered in the fight and attacked Iran? From the Iranian sources, I've learned that they have informed Iranians before attacking the nuclear. Yeah.
It's not only that. sources. Yeah, it's essentially Trump stated as much, actually, himself and other news outlets. So at this stage, nobody has to take Trump seriously at all. He is a clown, actually, hot air balloon, and whatever he says, you just discard it. It's gibberish, you know, basically. It's self-aggrandizing statements about how great he is. And he's now, frankly, is a laughing stock. What happened between Israel and Iran is, I mean, I've been on record for years now. The foundation of Israeli defense policy is to get the United States involved. The foundation of the defense policies of Israel are AIPAC, American-Israeli Political Action, Public Action Committee, all kinds of all those Christian Zionist groups which influence the American power, essentially executive and legislative. So that is why they needed to corrupt the U.S. Political system, which they did successfully. And the United States is, pardon my French, is Israel's slap bitch. That's what it is. However, yes, as I already stated, they are not good at fighting real wars. Real, and I mean real, when somebody shoots at you back with the weight of the salvo, so to speak, and fire impact, which equals yours, if not bigger and better. And Iran simply is better at that. They have a massive missile arsenal, and that's what Israel, you know, this famous FAFO, you know, screw around, find out. And this is exactly what Israel find out, because they do not understand what modern war is. They believed all those, you know, pathetic marketing statements and claims about all those air defense systems, which turned out to be pathetically ineffective. And as a result, yes, it's absolutely correct, Israel begged for ceasefire, because now we have even the confirmation of this coming out from inside Israel. It's been turned into Gaza 2.0 in some places. So, and what can I say? They suddenly now, yesterday, the chief of the general staff of IDF says that, oh, yeah, we're focused now against Gaza again. Okay, good luck. They go in back and they lose the column of the equipment and, you know, allegedly those defeated Hamas. So, I mean, yeah, they wanted the real war. They got it. And Iran has their all necessary wherewithal. So in this case, it's nothing what wasn't anticipated. People were warning for years that you get in Iran big time, you get what Israel got. And basically, I don't know, they probably will not recover from this, at least in any time soon, if ever, actually. And you look attentively at some quarters of Tel Aviv or Beersheba, or it's just freaking like World War III there. So what did they expect? But they believed all this BS, you know, emanating from the military industrial complex of the United States. Oh, we have those, you know, air defense systems and all that. Iran used initially not even the latest of their ballistic missiles. Then more modern came in and we all saw what was happening. So, and that's the result. What do you expect? I mean, you wanted the war, you got the war. And Iranians delivered.
Andrei, what Israeli media, Channel 12, reported that Iran didn't use cruise missiles in their attack on Israel. We know that Iran has at least three types of cruise missiles, and everybody knows about. But why did they decide not to use them?
Why? When they are subsonic, and obviously, when they fly, for example, they will fly through there, which was confirmed. Obviously, they exaggerated, as always, the Jordanian airspace, for example. And yeah, Jordan is essentially a shield for Israel. That's who Jordan is. You know, it's also slap beach of Israel. And all those Arab monarchies, they are, well, treasonous to their own people. But yeah, they would probably blunt rather dramatically there this salvo. And do not forget, you can essentially still use the modern fighter aircraft to intercept slow subsonic cruise missiles. And that's what actually Jordan confirmed. But they were intercepting their drones, which are even slower. They are much slower than cruise missiles. But yeah, you can kind of blunt the strike. So, and that's what Jordan did, for example. So Iran had no reasons to do that when they have the highly effective, especially latest generation of the ballistic missiles. Some of them now demonstrated their separation of the reentry vehicles, which becomes MIRV. They are not nuclear, obviously, but even that, they showed the separation, which make them with the carriers of the MIRV, multiple independent reentry vehicles. I saw one which was split in three or four, I don't remember exactly, but it was them. They are approaching with the being the launch from fairly long range, you know, especially from the eastern Iran. So it gets you about what, 1500, 2000 kilometers. So they accelerate pretty good, you know, by the time they burn out and go, you know, into the ballistic flight. And so they approach the targets up to probably Mach 10, Mach 12. There is no system in the West which can intercept it. So, and as a result, we saw ourselves what was happening, apart from the fact that they were saturating the air defense and of Israel with slower and less, you know, advanced ballistic missiles. And you could see it clearly even on the videos. But the devastation is absolute. I mean, it's horrible. Some people, even Zionists, you know, Zionist sources, they are screaming on their whatever, Twitter, X, whatever the hell the name of this thing. They're screaming that Israel was damaged into the hundreds of billions of shekels. And obviously much of the military damage Israel simply hides, which is kind of natural, you know. So, but yeah, it's utter devastation.
In terms of the way that Zelensky and you see Netanyahu, all of the, they're asking for Patriot system. What are the capabilities of the Patriot system?
Zero against modern missiles. Zero. It's a pathetic junk, which is obsolete technologically. It can still shoot down the aircraft. It can, definitely. It may shoot down, depending on the elevation or altitude, the subsonic cruise missile. That's pretty much the range of its capabilities. It will not intercept any modern ballistic missile. I will quote again. Well, Trump, again, at this stage, who takes him seriously? Nobody takes him seriously. The guy is hot air balloon. He basically purchased hot air out of himself, making things up as he goes. I mean, the guy doesn't even know what he's about to say himself. This is the, we are looking at the utter, I mean, sheer case of the narcissism, which is a sort of, you know, begin to border on the mental illness. But the point is, I will only repeat what I repeated many times, direct quote, from Lieutenant General Semyonov, who is deputy commander of the Russian airspace forces. Patriot cannot defend itself, forget about defending anything else. Simple as that. It cannot intercept any Iskander missile. And especially newest Iskanders and longer range, and let alone hypersonics and modern ballistic missiles, especially the ones which maneuvers. Evidently, Iran learned how to make some of those missiles, you know, warheads maneuver. So, yeah, good luck with this. It's useless junk, basically. That's what it is.
Andre, when I look at this war between Iran and Israel, somehow you, if you follow the how the war is started, and within 12 days they were articles in the mainstream media, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, they were talking about that Israel doesn't have, in 10 days they're gonna run out of missiles, the air defense missiles. How it seems all about, it seems that Netanyahu somehow convinced Donald Trump that he can do regime change by the initial attack on Iran. They haven't planned for a long run, for a war, for a continuous war with Iran. Because since then, we've learned from media that they have provided, the United States together with Germany, provided 14 weapon shipments during a week of war between the two. It's a lot. You don't have anything to fight, and you want to go to war. You attack a country. It seems that it was all about regime change. They didn't see beyond that. They wanted to do regime change, and the final case, the worst case scenario, was the interference of the United States. If something goes wrong, the United States would come in and put an end to the conflict.
Nima, I wrote 4 books. I'm writing the 5th now about this. The horizon of the operational planning of NATO and those NATO generals and especially Pentagon, who are incompetent. We can very clearly state this now. They are incompetent militarily. Is usually within the 2 months. They operate only on the templates. Most of those templates never have been actually put in real practice in real war, unless one considers the Gulf War, Turkish shooting 91 a war. So, and what can I say? That's how they plan. And the United States itself, if it goes into the serious war, it will run out of the smart and long-range standoff munitions in about 2 weeks, so maybe 3, so that's about it. So, and Israel obviously ran out of it immediately. Do not forget, they also have their had the battery of the THAAD, terminal high altitude, anti-ballistic defense, which also performed dismally. And different sources say that actually it was destroyed by Iranians. So, and they live in an alternative military universe because essentially Israel is nothing more than outgrowth of the U.S. Power. It's essentially, with the exception of some things like grossly overblown, Merkava and tank and things of this nature, primarily it's all Western United States and, And when you look at this, how do you even judge that? I read my latest book, America's Final War. They are incompetent. They don't understand what real military planning is. Evidently, they don't. Just to give you an example, very many people in Pentagon, which testifies to you about extremely low educational and military educational level of U.S. military academies and war colleges, they bought this BS from Ukraine, that Ukrainian air defense, Patriots, they shoot down daily all kinds of hypersonic weapons and everything. So it doesn't matter even if your models are correct. When you put the garbage in, what you get the garbage out. You get absolute alternative universe, fairy tales, things. You confabulate your own military history. And as a result, you go in with, thinking that you're going to be fighting some kind of the 5-year-old kid. And then 5-year-old kid comes out with this hairy, hugely muscled, Iranian, MMA fighter. And he begins to kick your butt, And suddenly there is a panic because obviously they never properly planned it. You can see yourself how IDF is not a real army. It's nothing more than gendarmerie. Essentially, they're heavily armed police force. That's who they are. They are good at genocide of people who are primarily cannot fight. And even in Gaza, it's what? 20 miles by 5 miles? So it's about 100-something miles, square miles size area. They're still fighting there. So there you go. That's their planning. That's how good, quote unquote, they are. But evidently, looking at their curriculum or curricula of the what is being taught in all those Western military academies and general staff colleges and things like that, it's all garbage. It's primarily, all those fairy tales about how the West, the United States, and Western allies defeated Hitler. They don't study Russian military history properly because they cannot. It's like making devil drink the holy water, so because they are, it's the complex of inferiority also. So as a result, you get those nincompoops who say, like Netanyahu was in special forces, something like that. Special forces are not designed to fight the real war. They are designed to diversionary recon operations, which are just merely small part of the much larger thing, which is combined arms operations. And United States never had the experience with the scale, for example, of the combined arms operations, which they absorb in the special military operation. And they are afflicted by the severe case of the professional envy and jealousy because, and then suddenly they, for some reason, decide that, Israeli, no, you remember they beat the crap out of Arabs in 1967 and 1973. Well, sure, it's like, again, it's like going and fighting the 5-year-old kid in the sandbox. And so they made and modeled those things from losers, essentially. And it was again paraded, basically, as it was for 3 years, Russia demilitarized NATO. Now they don't have enough for Israel. And what is Israel? It's a 9 million population country. It's about, you know, half of the New York City, you know. So, and even that, they cannot supply and resupply. The only thing they have is, as we discussed prior to coming on here, that's, Trump and his administration calls Tehran, say, hey guys, will you let us bomb you for PR action? That's the only thing they can do, PR. They cannot fight real war. They don't know how.